All right. Hello and welcome to the Princeton Tiger Performance Podcast, a.k.a. the PTP Podcast. Jason, we haven't yet decided on a name for this podcast, but PTP Podcast kind of rolls off the tongue.
Sounds pretty good to me.
So I am Dr. Mike Gross. I'm the sports psychologist here, and this is our inaugural podcast.
Yeah, and I'm Jason Gallucci. I'm the director of performance. I'm excited to get going.
So we're just going to give you a little brief rundown, a little intro to what this podcast is going to be about. Jason and me come from different backgrounds. However, we're both really interested in student-athlete wellness. This is something we're both very passionate about, and we talk about on a weekly basis when we chat. And essentially, we're always thinking about ways to improve the student-athlete experience and ways to help athletes grow both inside and outside of sport. And that shared passion led to the idea for this podcast. What we want to do is talk about what is going on in the world of sports, but instead of offering hot takes, what's that show? What's that ESPN show in the morning?
First Take.
It might be called Hot Take.
Yeah, it's First Take. First Take, it's Hot called, Takes, yeah.
It's called, yeah. We want to talk about them from the angle of mental health and the angle of wellness. It's kind of like pardon the interruption meets sports psychology. So we're going to talk to you about what we're going to be doing each episode. First, we're going to discuss a couple sports headlines and talk about them from the angle, again, of like this twist of mental health, mental wellness. And then we're going to offer a health and wellness tip. And hopefully each week we're going to have an interview for you for this inaugural, this week's episode. We're going to be interviewing each other, actually, because we don't have a guest for today. But next time we will have a guest. So do we want to run through the what we're going to hit on for the headlines for today?
Absolutely. Let's get right into it. So a couple things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, obviously, you know, March Madness is all over the news. And when that comes around, that kind of takes the nation by storm. So we'll talk a little bit about big game preparation. And then also what's been in the news lately is some of these big contracts that are going out. In quite a few sports, it's NFL free agency, but especially in Major League Baseball. And you've seen some real big contracts go out to some guys. And we're going to talk about meeting and managing the expectations with those contracts, especially, you know, potentially moving to a new city, and how do you manage that and how do you deal with that. So,
big contracts. Yeah. Big contracts. Come on. So we're actually going to start off with March Madness. And depending upon when you hear this, it may or may not be before March Madness. But as far as we have it, it's tipping off in just a couple hours. I mean, I know for me, this is one of the most exciting times of the year. This is like Christmas Day for me, although I'm Jewish, so I guess that doesn't really count. Maybe like the first day of Hanukkah for me. But I have a baby on the way. My wife is pregnant, and this might be my second most exciting time of the year is March Madness. Where does it fall for you, Jason?
Well, I'm glad you said it was the second most exciting time of the year for you, because we're going to get daggers thrown at us, and it's just the first episode. But, you know, look, this is one of the most exciting times of the year for sure. You got to love competition. You know, there's nothing like March Madness when it comes to competition in the college setting, and you see these athletes on both the men's and women's side going out and putting everything they possibly have out on the court for their team and for their school and for their teammates, and it's just an unbelievable time of year.
Yeah, it's like nothing else. One shiny moment. It's my favorite to watch, one shiny moment.
Absolutely.
It's the best. So what we're going to talk about with March Madness is, as like we said, preparing for the big game. You often hear people say, this is what I call kind of coach talk or athlete talk, that it's just another game. We don't look at this any differently. So I want to throw this at Jason for beginners and have him talk about how he did prepare for big games. Did he look at them as big games? Were they just like every other game? And how he saw some of his teammates prepare for these types of games.
Yeah, no, and it's a great question. And I think that, you know, clearly during the preparation phase, you can't help but not know it's a big game. Everything about it is different. And in the collegiate setting, it's real easy to know, because, you know, you get on that bus or you get on that plane, and all of a sudden that bus or that plane is got a few less seats available on it, and everybody and everybody's jumping on that thing, and they want to come down and see what's going on. So there's a buzz about what you're doing, and there's a lot of excitement in the air. And it's really easy to kind of get caught up in what's going on and get caught up in that moment. But, you know, we could talk about preparation, and that was always the key. And I think that that's what, you know, myself, my teammates, we always kind of focus on was, you know, you prepare for those games the way you prepare for really any other game. Make sure that you have your X's and O's and you have your assignments down pat. You could try to not get caught up in the moment, but you're going to. You know, I remember walking out onto the field in the Rose Bowl, and You know, over 100,000 people there, and the stadium's just huge. And if you don't get butterflies, and if the juices don't start flowing when you walk out on that field, then you probably don't belong on that field. And you know, but I think once you get into it and you get going, the game becomes the game. You know, and you try to manage that, I think, by, you know, really preparing yourself, again, knowing your X's and O's, knowing your assignments, and then just letting yourself be in the moment. Let the excitement, you know, kind of elevate you and help you in, to an extent, and enjoy it. I mean, again, if you can't enjoy that, if you can't enjoy the big stage, for me, that's what it was really all about.
Yeah. I mean, that last point is an excellent point. One of the things that we talk about from a psychological lens is looking at the anxiety actually as excitement. Before you go on a roller coaster, what do you feel? Some of those sensations in the body. And oftentimes people are excited about going on a roller coaster. At least some of us are excited about it. I used to be, not anymore. Yeah.
No, not this guy. I watch my kids do it from the sideline. I'm not a roller coaster guy.
Probably the smart move. Right? And the same sensations are playing out in the body when you're excited as they are when you're anxious. And when you interpret them as anxiety, that's typically when you might tense up and you start to pull away. And when you look at them as excitement, then you're there to meet the challenge, right?
Right.
So kind of what you were describing is along the lines of what I was thinking, that, yeah, external preparation should remain the same. And that's extremely important. But the internal preparation might actually need to change because the context has changed. And you can't ignore that the context has changed. So that for a lot of these players, there's going to be more cameras, more national attention, more attention in general, more fans in the crowd. It's going to be louder than what they may be used to. And they can't ignore that that has actually shifted for them. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, if not the greatest basketball player of all time, used to say that he got most anxious before games at Madison Square Garden because that was kind of the mecca, that was like the biggest arena to be able to play in. So this game internally might give potentially rise to more anxiety than an athlete typically has experienced. And if you're telling yourself this is just another game, and you know what, coach has told me this for the last few meetings, he said it 5 million times, this is just another game, and you're telling yourself that in order to alleviate and push down the anxiety, that might turn out to be problematic the moment that you step out onto the field or the court. And what happens is they call it the paradox of suppression. I know you like these big psychological terms,
yeah.
Jason.
No, I'm into it. Let's go.
Yeah. So it's like pushing a beach ball underneath the water. So the more you try and push away the anxiety, the more you try and push it away, the moment that you're confronted with the thing that you're trying to avoid, then the anxiety is going to come out really, really strongly. So you're going to experience this rush of anxiety. So when I work with this question, when I'm working with athletes and they say, I'm telling myself it's just another game, and it's clear to me that they're telling themselves it's just another game in order to alleviate the anxiety, we do work with that and try and have them picture what they might feel when they walk out onto the court, what they might feel when they walk out onto the field, because they might actually experience this increase in anxiety. We don't want them to avoid that. So I don't know, what do you think about that? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, you know, I think it does. And I think, you know, we've talked about it and, you know, and there's science behind it. You know, some anxiety is actually good for you, right, as you're getting prepared to go out there and you're getting to go out to play. And apparently it worked for Michael Jordan. I mean, you know, maybe it's just because he was playing the Knicks, but he seemed to score quite a few points when he was at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're a Knicks
fan. How dare you take on the Knicks. Yeah. You know, another way I explain this to athletes is you really, it'd be nice if we could, but we cannot control what thoughts and emotions come up for us. We can only control how we respond to the thoughts and emotions that come up for us. And if that response to the emotion of anxiety is, I must make this go away, I must fix it, I must control it, I must eliminate it, that typically can lead to a tenseness in the body that isn't good for sport performance. So again, it's better to be able to acknowledge the context has changed and that you are feeling anxious beforehand.
That's great advice. That's great advice. Okay, so let's move on to some of these big contracts and some of the news that we see going on. And obviously, you know, Mike Trout landing that monster $430 million contract. And I don't...
amazing.
It's hard to wrap your head around it. But, you know, at the same time, you try to think, you know, our economic friends out there, well, maybe they can work a little bit on this, but is he $100 million better than the next best player in baseball? And... quite honestly, he might be. I mean, he does everything well. And I don't know if there's a more complete player. $100 million is a lot of money to wrap your head around, though. No. But so, you know, now Mike Trout's situation's a little different. He's staying in Los Angeles, and they locked him up for a long time. You know, Bryce Harper, a guy moving from one team in the National League East to another. And, you know, you're jumping into the Lions Den there. You're jumping into Philadelphia. That's not the easiest place to play. The fans there, you know, they're going to expect a return on their investment and really in a heartbeat. So, you know, advice, how do you manage those expectations as an athlete?
Yeah, so I had a few thoughts on that. And yeah, these contracts are pretty amazing. When it comes to expectations, we're really talking about the outcomes, right? That's really what we're looking at. We're looking at outcomes. And there's this classic sports psychology phrase. It's called Go Ape. And Ape stands, we love our acronyms. I see Jason smiling. We love our acronyms in sports. So Ape stands for attitude, preparation, and effort. And those are really the three things that are within your control. You can't control the outcomes. So often I have my private practice where I work with a lot of youth athletes, and you see with the parents, what they reinforce is only the outcomes. But it's much better to reinforce your attitude. You can bring a positive attitude to the field every day. Your preparation, what type of preparation are you bringing every day? And your effort. And when there's all these expectations, what somebody like Bryce Harper could do is focus on those three aspects rather than get caught up in the outcomes. This is something that's really helpful to be able to be brought back into the moment. And you have to clarify, like, what do I want my attitude to be about? What type of preparation do I want to have, and what do I want my effort to be about?
So yeah. Go Ape. That's the recommendation.
Go Ape.
All right, because the first thing I imagined when you said that was, you know, breaking a bat over his head, you know, that sort of thing. Like, but it's actually quite different, right? So it's really about kind of bringing yourself back into the moment, you know, as opposed to letting your emotions really kind of you get the better of you.
Exactly. Although I think Bryce Harper did break a bat over his head, if I have that correct. I think he went Bo Jackson at one point. Yeah. The other quick thing I want to say about that is, Bryce Harper has been in pressure situations since he's been very young. I mean, I was reading about him, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 17 years old, being dubbed as the next LeBron James of baseball. So he has been in this situation dealing with expectations for quite a long time. And for those athletes out there who might avoid pressure situations or might not want to put themselves in situations where they're dealing with these types of expectations, the recommendation is kind of get yourself on the razor's edge a little bit. Put yourself in those pressure situations so when the time comes, you're able to deal with it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that avoids that. So no. So that's good news, I guess, for Philly fans. Maybe you know, they could expect him to go out there and you know, and slug the ball all season long.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Although, as a Yankees fan, I would be rooting against this.
Oh, we're on the same page too. Yeah. Yeah, I was hoping the Yankees would go out and get him, but I guess that outfield would be a little crowded at this point.
Sure would.
So, but, you know, it's interesting. So we talk about that. You know, and obviously we bring it back to Princeton here. And, you know, in the athletes we have, highly competitive, you know, student athletes that have been in those pressure situations really their entire life. And, you know, and in every arena, you know, we always talk about wanting our athletes to excel and to thrive, you know, both academically and athletically, as well as socially. There's a huge social component here, you know, at Princeton and well. So it's important for them. And, you know, again, they've been in these situations, you know, big exams, big games, you know, and trying to always be the best. And you have to be one of the best, right, to wind up. You know, they always say, you know, you don't select Princeton, Princeton selects you type of thing, you know. So, you know, any advice for, you know, the Princeton student athlete?
Well, I think it comes back, and hearing you say this, it comes right back to what I was saying first, which is this whole idea of, don't make it about wins and losses, about the stats at the end of the day, the outcomes. Focus on the process and really be sure that you're being thoughtful about what you're doing moment by moment. What are those things? What do you want to be about? Clarify what you want to be about, again, in terms of your attitude, preparation, and effort, and make sure that you're taking care of those things rather than reinforcing only the outcomes, only the grade. It's really about what you do to get towards that grade, what you do to get towards that outcome in terms of sports. That's really what matters. And you guys have heard this over and over again, focus on the process, right? But you have to actually be thoughtful about it. It's not just telling yourself that phrase that will get you to do it. You really have to sit down and clarify what you want to be about and be thoughtful about it.
Okay, so when I'm giving my son a hard time about the test he just blew because he wasn't prepared, he's going to throw that back at me, that it's about the process, Dad. It's not about the grade. And I got to go along with that. I mean, that's going to be a hard sell for my wife.
There's no free sessions on this podcast. But you would look at, yeah, you would look at, you know, what was his process towards that grade, and yeah, you'd still reinforce, well, kind of with, it might sound soft, but with this compassionate side, be like, I know you worked hard at this, you did everything you could do to get towards that grade, were there things that we could tweak and bring it back to that? Recognizing that one grade is not going to make a big difference in the grand scheme of things.
Right. For the record, it was a B, but, you know, we want A's.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. He's all A's.
That's what we're hoping for. All right, so we kind of just touched on it. You talked about the process. Your tip of the week.
The tip of the week. So here's a good way to focus on the process. This is a process activity. So I'm going to walk you through the stages of this. The first part of it is think of an athlete or a person you most admire. The person could be a coach, parent, friend, teammate, whoever it might be, or just an athlete that you really admire. And then really, again, being thoughtful about this. When it comes to our mind, we often don't take the time out to do these types of activities. So taking out 10 minutes to think about this or maybe more, list the qualities, characteristics of that person, what you would like to develop yourself. And not make it about their accomplishments, not about their outcomes, but again, like, what are their personality characteristics that you admire, and write those down. And then ask yourself, what are 2 to 3 actions I could take, what 2 or 3 behaviors I could do on a daily basis that move me towards being that type of person? And then at the end of the day, what you can do is reflect on this. So was I consistent with these types of behaviors? Did I take on these characteristics or did I not? And if you didn't, it's not a time to beat yourself up or excessively criticize yourself. Really, it's a time then just to say, well, what barriers got in the way? How can I work on this?
Yeah. Great. So, you know, I'm going to keep mine kind of in line to the big game prep. And, you know, a couple things along that line. I think, you know, number one, when push comes to shove, right, or the rubber hits the road or whatever, you know, you fall back on there, you know, you want to play to your strengths. You know what your strengths are and play to those. You know, that kind of puts you back in your comfort zone, and that puts you in the best possibility, best chance to be successful right there. And it kind of calms you down a little bit. But the other thing I'd say is, you know, in preparation to that is to use your resources. You know, as an athlete, you have so many people around you that want to see you be successful, whether it's your coaches, your teammates, your captains, family. You know, here at Princeton, obviously, we have an expanded resource pool where, you know, you have your strength and conditioning coach, you have your athletic trainer, you have sports psychologists, you have dietitians. There's so many different people you can go to truly fine-tune your ability to go out there and perform, that as an athlete, it's critical that you use those resources, that you get out there and you keep trying to find the, you know, put yourself in the best path to go out and master your skills and prepare yourself for that big game.
Great. So, well, I don't know, Jason, that concludes our inaugural podcast. We got through that.
Episode one
really well. Episode one. Lock it in.
Yeah.
All right. Tune in to next time to the PTP podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
All right.